Hey everybody, it's Winter with the Shift Spotlight, and today I'm excited to have an interesting discussion with Brian Dosal. He is the CEO of Stretty and can be found at stretty.com. That's stretty.com. So welcome to the show, Brian.
Thanks for having me, Winter.
Okay, so we are going to talk about all of the amazing things that you are doing, and we hear you're doing some pretty cool stuff out there. But before we talk about that, let's start with a little bit of fun. Tell
Yeah.
us an interesting fact about you that people may not know.
Oh, I have a good one because yeah, I have a good one. I knew it in college when it happened. So I was part of the national championship fencing team at the University of Notre Dame back in 2003.
Wow, that's very cool. So, how did you get into fencing?
That's a long story, but no, I picked it up. Actually, I picked it up in college. Notre Dame has this big walk-on program, and I won the PE part of my freshman year. I took fencing. I won the little tournament, and the coach was like, "Hey, you should try out." And I tried out and I made the team. And then by senior year, I was captain. But so I started in, like, freshman year, won the championship my junior year. Senior year, I was captain. We lost the championship. That's okay. And
But you didn't go there, but you went.
I went.
Yeah.
And I haven't fenced since. So it's one of these things
Okay.
that, like, I mean, I have like a big ring and everything. I should wear it more, but it's kind of a nerdy thing that no one knows. But anyway, now your listeners know. So.
Right. Well, now we've made it an announcement to the world. Okay. So at a high level, why don't you tell us what it is that you do?
Sure. So Stretty is my second software company. And Stretty is an EOS software platform. So for businesses that know or run on the entrepreneurial operating system, short EOS, which there's, 250,000 companies out there running on this EOS framework. We are one of three software platforms that they can choose to run their business on, run EOS digitally, essentially.
Okay, so very niche market that you have there.
Yes.
And in terms of, like you said, it's your second business. What was your
Yeah.
first business?
Yeah. So I saved my second business because really, like, this is a true passion project. Like, my first, and I'm a software guy at heart. So my first software business, I started when I was 27, for about 10 years, bootstrapped that. And it was an analytics company for managed services providers, another niche industry, but if you don't know it, it's fine. But we bootstrapped that, built this very, like, think of business dashboards, QuickBooks dashboards, that type of stuff for a specific industry. So we knew their data, we knew all that stuff. So we'd pull data out, present these beautiful reports, dashboards. I did that for those 10 years until we sold. My brother and I were the co-founders and business partners to this day. But along that 10-year journey, I found EOS, and EOS kind of helped me go from being an out of control business. It was growing, but out of control, to
Right.
an in control, well-oiled machine. Then we sold to a big private equity firm, my year 20, late 2018, so a while ago. I took a few years off. COVID helped expedite that. It made me realize maybe retirement was for me. But it was, I'm too young to have used that word and too passionate about building software. So we got kind of the gang back together, and I had always wanted to build an EOS software platform. We actually had one in the previous company. So anyway, long story short, the gang got back together, a few of us, and we built Stretty, launched it in the market 2 years, a year and a half ago, actually. I've been growing ever since. And so we became one of the three licensed software platforms for EOS just in January, right? We're in April right now. So it's been kind of a fun ride back in the startup grind. But
I mean,
yeah.
that's huge because, EOS isn't huge on attaching to people, right? So
Yes.
that's a very big accomplishment you have.
Well, I mean, EOS, so again, I was young in the sense of, like, I was a first-time manager, as well as most of our team was, and we were about 30 employees when I was given the traction book. And just I mean, it's near and dear to my heart in the sense, right? It helped me as the founder grow it. And so once a friend of mine convinced me to kind of get back in the game and build an EOS software platform, I was like, heck yes, let's do it. And so now for me, this is This is like round two, having a blast, because something that I truly believe in, EOS, and something I love to do, building software. So it's been fun.
Gotcha. So, you had this successful, profitable SaaS business. Why did you sell it? And how did that process go? How did that come about?
Yeah, great question. So like,
Most people aren't selling successful businesses just for fun, right? So I'm curious behind that.
and it was, for your listeners there, like everyone has different reasons to sell, and we were really, it was my, professional utopia at the time. The reality, like you boil it down to, and it was a lot of money that at the time I thought we could get, and we ended up did getting, but that was the reason we went into the sale process. But yeah, we were, just short of $10 million in recurring revenue, highly profitable. It was a blast of an office. But at the time, it was 10 years into the journey. My brother, who is more financially minded, was like, "Hey, we should look at this." And so the thought that I had, and maybe some of your listeners, if they're thinking about this, the thought I had was like, what's going to take it from 10 million in ARR to 20 to 30? And to me, that was, I was opening an office in London. I was going to potentially open an office in Sydney. I had just had my second kid. And it just be, it was like this overwhelming sense of like, is this really not, this next step not for me? I enjoy, like a crazy person, I enjoy this 0 to 1, 0 to 5. And so at that time, it was money obviously was a big driver, but it was like, maybe this is the right time. So it could I have been the right guy to take it from 10 to 30? I think I would have been fine, but it didn't sound fun to me. And it sounded more fun to say, hey, we cash out and let's see what comes up. I really didn't know what was going to come up, but I was mentally prepared for that thought exercise.
And I'm really glad that you say that because I think there's this myth out there that, or it, maybe it's a pressure that CEOs and founders, they feel like when they hit a threshold, the next logical step is to hit the next threshold and then the one after that. And it's almost like this internal pressure that they put on themselves. And something that we say at GCE Strategic Consulting is just, build a business that meets your definition of success, because that might be a tiny business. That might be not having any employees and traveling the world, like one of our clients, a hugely successful SEO company, and she doesn't want a bunch of employees, and she wants to be able to travel all over the world while she runs her company. And so, there is not this like you've got to keep growing, 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 growing for some people. Now, some people, Elon Musk, for example, right? Can't stop, won't stop, right? But I mean, I'm glad that you can say that and let other CEOs know that they're not alone in that thought process too.
For
Sometimes enough,
sure.
good enough is good enough for some people.
And I think, there's more to life than just business, right? So like if you got to weigh all those options, you have to provide. But if you have the luxury to make a decision like that, where, hey, what's most important to me right now in my life? Mine was a little bit, if I was 60 at the time, maybe it would have been easier, but I was 37 and I was like, wow, there's an unknown next. That was a little daunting, but I knew my heart of heart. And by the way, like, this is the other thing for listeners, like part of the deal was I was walking away the next day and the acquirers were like, wait, what? The CEO is walking? Like, why? What's wrong? Like, what's going on? And I was like, no, like I can't put myself in front of my employees or my customers and say, hey, no, now I'm a private equity guy and we're going to grow this thing to $1 billion. Like, I'm just me. So having that awareness, it took me a while, but it ended up being the right decision. I missed that company. I missed the team. Luckily now we've got 10 of the 40 people back. So it was hard, but I knew it was right for me. It was right for my brother, and my parents were able to retire. All these things kind of worked out. But looking at a 100-person company or a 200-person with multiple global offices sounds good to the ego, but deep down that was not for me.
Hey, it's for some people, not for others. So
Yeah.
you sold your company, you're successful, you didn't have to get back in the game, but you did. So, why Streety? Why did you get back in the game?
First of all, Stretty, and
Stretty,
it's
sorry.
a
I
awful
spelled that
name.
right as I said it.
And it's a kind of an awful name, but everyone's gonna remember it one day. It was like an internal code name at our previous company, and it stuck. Oh, but anyway, here I
Well,
am
and it's
repping the
funny because,
brand.
like with GCE Strategic Consulting, like nobody knows this, and I've recently started promoting it. But I mean, GCE stands for Gabrielle, Chloe, Emma. It's the name of Ken's three
Yes.
daughters. So
No,
he's just
he
like,
told me.
okay, we'll just do that, right? It's like sometimes a name's just a name.
And I was the same way. And then people mispronounce it. What does it mean? I'm like, I don't have any good answers for you. It just, hopefully in 5 years they'll say, oh, Stretti means EOS platform, right? That's the hope. No, the what I would miss most about the previous company was the camaraderie of the team and building software. And building like for EOS is very easy for me because I'm very passionate about it. So it's like my now business partner in Stretti and was one of my best friends growing up and was my head of sales at the previous company. He was the one that kind of got me back in the game. And it's just like, hey, let's give it a run again. He can do all the things that I didn't want to do, which he's really good at, which is selling, marketing, building relationships, all that stuff. And then I could focus on just what I like doing, which is building product. So that attracted me. Building for EOS attracted me because it was very, again, easy for me. It's passionate. I'm passionate about it. I understand the concepts. I know I can build it in software. So that was very, very attractive. And then, kind of selling into another niche market. So MSPs were very, it's a niche market. So it was easy to, you just kind of, hey, go in. This is our little world. We compete with these three people, and that's it. It was similar with the EOS world. It was like, all right, I know. I got my arms around it. It's not like we're building, a search engine. We got to compete with Google. It's like, no, we have these two other competitors out there. Let's go pick our stance and let's do it. So it all kind of fit perfectly. Certainly at the right time in my life too. My kids were, obviously older. So he kind of got me back into it, but it was a slow drip. It was like, hey, let's just give it a shot. Let's release this beta version. And then it's snowballed from there. And now the last year I've been back, back to the full grind, much to the enjoyment of my wife, I think.
Honey, I need a break.
So, but yeah, it
Right.
was easy-ish decision to get back, and the fun for me, it's fun, right? Like I'm working, I actually don't even pay myself right now, so this is just pure fun right now.
Well, and that's how a lot of the businesses are for a while when you get going.
Hi there. This is Ken Paskins, the CEO of GCE Strategic Consulting. What's holding your company back? It's often blind spots in leadership, miscommunication, misaligned priorities, and untapped growth opportunities. GCE's 360 assessment provides crystal clear insights into your team's strengths and challenges. Then, one of our leaders will work with you to turn those insights into an action plan, ready to build a stronger, aligned team that can execute against your vision. Learn more about our 360 assessment today.
So it sounds like you've done a lot right in business. And we are going to talk more about that. But before we go on, let's talk about something you did really wrong. Where did you screw up in either one of these companies that, if you could go back and rewind the clock, that one thing I should have just not done?
I think most a lot of there's a couple of things. You said just one thing I have to choose?
Oh, no, you can dump all of your problems on
Yeah,
us.
can I start if I start crying,
Vomiting.
just cut that part out. No, I think I was disconnected from building products at the beginning of the previous company. I thought as the founder, I had to go sell, and that is important. So in my specific world of building software, I have found that CEOs that are not true software people, they don't end up winning in the long term. The product doesn't get built the way it should. And there's a lot of edges and details in software that have to be right in order for us as end users to just say, man, this just feels right. And I think that starts with a founder. And so I try to outsource that, not employees offshoring, but outsourcing it to another employee. Hey, you go build this thing I'm thinking about. And that failed miserably. The other thing I always look back with, that I'm learning in this this next business is like, there's always more business out there. That's one thing I always was worried about. Man, I'm gonna hit the ceiling today. And there's a, I forget, I don't know if it's a book, but there's an upper limit concept where, hey, Brian doesn't think he can get to 20 million or 30, when you can, like it's there. The business is there. You just got to keep executing, got to keep going. So, whenever I would get overwhelmed, especially as a startup person, it's because, man, I don't think there's enough of a market out there to get there. And in my two businesses, even though very niche, there is. And so future Brian, or the current Brian, would go back and tell past Brian, hey, you'll be fine. There's enough market out there. And I was right, but man, I was anxious as all heck about that. And then the last thing is the highs and lows. I think a lot of us can kind of resonate with that. Like, things are never as good as you think, and things are never as bad as you think.
That's right.
And managing that emotion, again, and my world is from 0 to 50 employees, right? That whole growth thing. There's a lot of worry. Taking that anxiety out of it would have saved me, well, first of all, saved me a ton of calories and wine that I didn't need to drink. But it would have saved me a lot of heartache, and I probably would have made better decisions on people and all that stuff. So those are my three, I think I would say. I probably have many more.
Yeah, and I'm going to rewind and comment on a few of those.
Yeah.
So, when you talk about the business and is there enough out there? That's one of the things that I, am really passionate in believing that there is like enough business out there for everyone.
Yeah.
And even if you have a competitor, like I come from a real estate background. I mean, everybody's got their real
Yeah.
estate license, right? But like, I am always out to help people because I don't like, they're still not me. They're still like, for you, it's still not your product.
Right,
You know,
exactly.
there might be another
100%.
product out there doing it, but it's not
Yep.
yours. You do it and you've got your own secret sauce and your special thing that makes you you. So I'm a big fan of always like helping the competitors because it's like, go for it. You're not going to do it my
Yeah.
way. You're not going to, do it as well as me, but there's plenty of business. And when you
Right.
have that like mentality of, there's enough and there's always enough and you're not coming from scarcity, I do think the business comes to you a lot faster. And that goes on to the point that you talked about as far as like, it's never as scarce as you think it is. You know,
Yeah.
it's never
Yeah.
as bad as
Never.
you think it is,
Right.
and it's never as good as you think it is. Like you're like,
Yeah.
yeah, I closed this deal, like high five, whatever. But then like you almost do zero celebration and you're off to like the next thing, right? But then like when the phone doesn't ring for a few months, you're like, oh
Yeah.
my God, that's it. I'm gonna have to sell
Yeah.
the boat. It's over.
Yeah. Cancel
And
private
that is a
school. Yeah.
common mindset for entrepreneurs and CEOs for sure.
Yeah. No. And it's, again, there's probably a youth and an immaturity that I had to it, right? That I'm now, I feel like maybe I'll do that better. The other thing too is that from the EOS perspective, that really helped me out. But one of the key parts that I liked about EOS, one was obviously the level 10 meetings, and a lot of reviewers, I think, know EOS, but level 10 meetings were just an obvious thing to start, but like the core values and getting that right and hiring and firing based on that, we dialed that in. It just felt like we didn't lose any people, any employees. Like, we didn't hire poorly, and we didn't, no one left. Everyone was kind of a fit. So if that was another one inside that previous company called BrightGage, by the way, that was the name of it, that we kind of self-learned, or we learned inside, and it helped us take off. But yeah, the emotional part of running a company, it's no joke. So that was probably my biggest takeaway. That did
Yeah,
horrible.
and I keep like, and yes, most of our listeners know EOS, or are involved in it, or are curious about it, or are getting ready to
Yeah.
start running it. But I gotta say, like, you have a lot more passion about it than a lot of folks that I talk to. So, like, how does EOS fit in your world, and why are you so passionate about it?
All right, great question, by the way. Because no one asked that exact question. They're like, maybe just a crazy person. So I'm like, relatively, I'm a very calm person. So like, my household's calm. I'm a very, I don't want to say relaxed, but just calm. And when I was running the company, we were successful. It was still chaos, and people weren't seeing the things the same way, and we weren't speaking the same language. And I was reading every business book out there, like, I mean, like everyone else would, right? I was going to conferences, and and industry conferences or just how to run a business conference. I had joined EO early on too to get in a peer group. But like once I read the book, I was like, oh, it's the playbook. Like I have it here. It's like this is the playbook. Let me just give it to the team. And you know, I'll say, and hopefully the implementers out there won't hate me, but like I, you know, you don't have to use everything within EOS. So I would take the things that made sense to me. Let's implement that. And then things got calmer. And to me, I was like, that's great. And when things get calmer, you do more as a smaller team. And so it's like, oh, now we're starting to really execute well. Fast forward, I sold a company. Of course, you know, you sell a company, everyone's like, hey, you know, I want to talk to you. Let's, you know, help me out my company.
Yeah.
All of their issues are like just chaotic, poor decision-making issues, you know? So it was like, man, this book just solves it. And it's not the Bible. It's not the end all be all, but it just was like, why look anywhere else? Like, this is it. Stop overcomplicating things, Brian. And so that's what I was passionate about, because I see it helps everyone.
I see it helps everyone. The one area where I see it does not help everyone, and it sounds like you've got this part handled, is that, you know, we often are asked at GCE, like, does EOS work for everyone? And the answer is maybe, because if you don't have the right people in the right seats,
yeah, correct,
and you know, they're not bought into it, then EOS can absolutely not work. And so that people piece, you know,
yes,
becomes
for
a
sure.
Huge part of whether this can work or not.
And yeah, I think
that's a good thought.
Yeah. And I think it starts at the visionary level too, because right. Typically what I've seen where it doesn't work is when the integrator, and again, I'm hoping that the listeners know, but like when the operator of the business comes in and says, hey, Mr. CEO, who is the visionary tech typically in these companies, when he says or she says, hey, we got to run EOS, and that person says, all right, sure, fine, but what that integrator is really saying is, you're chaotic and I can't stand, you know, this relationship. And when it comes from that way, when the visionary is not bought in, I find that it doesn't work. You know, if the visionary says, you know, I know my role, I know where I'm good, where I'm bad at, I think the implementation gets easier. But that's from my experience. You have much more experience, but like I think
what we see too is a lot of times the visionary will have the implementer or integrator be, you know, their friend or a neighbor that had a pretty successful company, and now they're working together on this thing, and they don't really have any formal training on it. Ken said a quote the other day, and I hope I'm quoting this right, but it said something like, only 4% of integrators out there are actually integrators or should be doing.
Interesting. That.
So you've got a lot of knockoffs, right? You got a lot of, and you've got a lot of like people using people because of loyalty or because they like them or they trust them. But that goes back to the right people, right seat. And if you really want EOS to work, you have to make some hard decisions, and you have to make them kind of early on.
And I have, so two comments to that. One is, I had a guy that was with me since the beginning of BrightGage that once we pick out the core values, it was clearly he wasn't a fit. And that was like the aha moment. Like, I got to get rid of him. And that was hard because he was a friend. I went to his wedding. And so like, that was big. But the other thing too, I always take a very simplistic view of this too, is like, if you're struggling in business and the US is resonating with you, just starting out, things will calm down. It may not be the perfect implementation, but like, you got to start somewhere. And then, you know, you can look for an integrator, you can look for an implementer, right, to help. But like, just getting the ball rolling, I think you can't discount incremental improvement, is my point. So it's like, don't overwhelm yourself with everything. Again, I'm a calm person, so like, I try not to overwhelm myself with stuff. Hey, start slowly, and I think it works. It could work for most companies. I don't think it's a 1,000 person company tool framework, but I do think anything in that 100 to 20 to 200 makes total sense.
Yeah. And for me, like, I'm not as much of a calm person. I'm more like a type A person. I'm more like a perfectionist. And I know a lot of CEOs and visionaries are as well. And like, something I really had to, and this attaches to your EOS, you know, side of just get things going. But I've had to really say to myself, good enough is good enough. You know,
exactly.
Some people get a hold of traction and they go, okay, I've got to And I try to tell people, like, with this kind of stuff, be a B minus student, right?
For sure.
Get a few things rolling in it. You're going to start to see, like, the stress levels come down. You're going to start to see, like, the chaos go to calm a little bit. And then you can kind of, like, ramp it up down the road. But, like, I really feel for people listening, sometimes they just have to understand good enough is good enough.
For sure. And I think I 100% agree. And I told that to many people, but I do think that visionary is key to have that buy-in from that person. And then the integrator, having someone that can is truly the integrator, right? Like you said, it's gotta be that. We had that, but again, for me, A minus, I mean, maybe I was an A minus student at Notre Dame. I don't remember, but I think you're good enough. I'm okay with
Yeah, totally. That's right. Okay, we have a few more questions here. So what advice would you give to aspiring entrepreneurs, leaders, CEOs who are just starting out their journey?
Journey with EOS or just journey in general?
Journey in general. We've obviously made it clear you're an EOS fan.
You know, what I've always told people is that everything compounds. And I heard that in from our software perspective, software as a service, you know, monthly recurring revenue compounds over time. But you just take that a step further, like everything you do. So, you know, I always look at your habits because those compound. And if whatever you do now will impact what happens in 2 years from now, 3 years from now. So similar to working out, right? But if you're not working your butt off now, truly, if you're not truly passionate about it now, not the right thing. But if you are and you're doing all the right things and maybe things aren't growing as fast, it's okay.
Yeah.
Things will compound.
Grace. You know, give yourself grace.
Give yourself grace, 100%. And I was not like that, but like 5 years, you know, I was with the company, Breckenridge, for 10 years. Like it was torturous for the first five. Last five were great. And that was just 10 years, you know, it's decent time, but, you know, now I'm onto something else. And so like days are long, but years are short. And that's why I always tell new entrepreneurs, but make sure, like, I always say, like, I've worked my butt off. I'm up, you know, 7 days a week in the morning. I make it look easy because I'm calm and I'm, you know, I'm well balanced, but there's nothing outdoes hustle and daily hustle.
Yeah. Yeah. Where do you see yourself investing resources for growth over the next year? You're obviously on that trajectory.
Yeah. We just hired two people. We're a 12 person team now, right? We started at four a year, about a year and change ago. So right now we're keeping up with growth. So we have over 1,000 organizations that have come over, a lot from competitors. And so we provide a lot of hold handing support. So just making sure that we scale that part is important to me, and scale with the brand, right? Like, as you can tell, I'm passionate. So everyone, you know, we got to have that same vibe throughout the org. And so we also don't believe in AI bots for support. So we will never do it. And so I have to make sure I line up that trajectory with my resources. Yeah. And then number two is software development. I think software development's getting a big bump from AI, but having the right people that care makes a world of difference. Like all the apps that we all use, the ones that we love are built by people that care. Usually they're founder based. So making sure we hire the right developers are harder culturally. And so that's the other piece that I'm always looking for.
Good. Okay. And what is one book or resource that you would recommend to another CEO?
CEO or founder?
Either one.
All right. So two books. I'm a big fan of the software company Basecamp, 37 Signals, and they wrote many books. The one I like the most is that It Doesn't Have to Be Crazy at Work. So that's the name of the book.
Okay.
Have you heard of it?
No. I like that though.
So, you know, I mean, it speaks to me, right? Like that was like, the title was built for me. So again, It Doesn't Have to Be Crazy at Work by Jason Fried and DHH, two people that I admire quite a bit. Obviously Traction. And then from an entrepreneurial standpoint, what was the name of it? It's Whatever You Want, I believe it's called, but from Derek Sivers. Okay. And have you heard of that one?
No.
Two for two, baby. I love it.
I know. I know. And I get a lot of people talking books. So I got a whole library over here as well.
Yeah. And it's basically gives permission to us entrepreneurs, to us leaders, to build whatever culture you want, to not follow, you know, just because you're in a corporation, you have to be corporate, right? And so, oh, it's called Anything You Want. Sorry.
There you go.
And it's just, he's an eclectic founder. And I read it again for my personality type. I was like, you're 100% right. And we used to have the most amazing perks and we'd have remote stuff and we do it now, but smaller scale because we're still growing. But it's like you can build whatever culture you want if you're a leader of an organization. So, and keeping that in mind, and if you do that intentionally, people love working with you, then you love working with them. It's just, I don't know, those are my two big books.
All right, awesome. Okay, and last question. If somebody listening wanted to take the next step with you or your company, what should they do?
So you can go online. If you use EOS, if you run on EOS, and use a software platform or you don't, you can always give us a trial, which is on our website. It's free trial, no credit card, and we will jump all over you in a very polite way, in the sense of like we're there to help you. We would migrate data for free. We do all that stuff. Like we're just there. You will most likely love it, and it's easy for us to support that effort. If they want to talk to me, just email me at the company. So be my first initial, my last name. At Stretti.com. I'm quick to respond, love talking to people, and I can always walk them through how I use Stretti for at our company, because we don't just do EOS, we also have project management tools, employee engagement stuff. Like we have a whole platform. So I can always walk someone through personally. Again, I'm passionate about this stuff, so that's how they can reach out to me.
Yeah, awesome. Well, this was great. I enjoyed this conversation very much. So I
Well,
appreciate
I love that it's short too. It's awesome. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Winter.